Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching!
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there!
And we'll help your growing business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Off the ball, GAA.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we don't get to play the new rules in Sigerson as well, just to really see how it, like, we could flow from one game to another without thinking about it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Dennis, you're in Ireland to talk about your autobiography, which is called The King. Can you tell me a little bit about actually writing the book and the process of going through your career? Was it difficult to decide what to leave in and what to leave out?
No, it was difficult to remember going back so far. But fortunately, I had a guy who did it, he did the research. So it sort of jogged your little brain in, you know, when you're going back like 40 years or whatever.
What's your memory like for games that were played 40 years ago?
To be fair, not great. I do remember some games, like IE. Cup final, international matches, semi-finals, Cubs game. But league games, no, there's a few that I would not remember.
And I suppose then the great thing about the book is that there are big incidents that happen through various stages. I'm thinking specifically of your time in Italy, which is just a remarkable story from start to finish.
Well, we were a bit young then to go over, but of course the money was... exceptional for the time, because don't forget, just prior to that, the maximum wage was £20, and then it went up to, I think, about £100. So when you get an offer of something like £200 to go abroad, then you're going to take it. But we were only young, we were only 21, and a 21 years old in those days was young, and today it's not so much. I loved everything about Italy. The people were lovely, food, everything, the wine, but the football was awful.
Yeah.
It was very defensive. Played 9 back, 2 up front. I mean, the team that I played for, Torino, was exactly the same. Whoever scored first won the game. So it really was, after about 2 or 3 months, I realised that I'd made a big mistake and I had to get back.
Okay, there are some stories about the fans, particularly there's one game in Palermo in Sicily that you talk about. You were quite happy about the other side scoring a late winner because...
Then we can get off the island without any problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that was the type of thing you felt that if you'd won there would be a lot of trouble.
As a striker, I suppose you must get marked out for particular attention. Now, obviously, FIFA have banned the tackle from behind, mm-hmm. and they're looking after forwards a lot better these days. But, I mean, physically, you must have come up against particularly the Italian Catenaccio style of defence.
Yes.
They like their bruisers.
Oh, they did. We used to go when Joe Baker, because I was with Joe Baker, who unfortunately passed away last Monday. We used to line up and we used to look and we used to say, wonder which two's marking you. And I said, well, I wonder which two's marking you. So that was it. We had two men marking both of us, and they were tough guys, and there was no holes barred at all. But, of course, our team did exactly the same to the opposing team anyway.
And so no one was going to stand in and say, you can't do that.
Cause no.
It's the way things go.
In those days, anyway.
In some ways, was that a great educational process for you as a young striker, learning to look after yourself?
Exactly. Although that I didn't like it there, I only stayed a season. When I came back to England and to Manchester United, you know, when we played the game, I realised that I had so much space. I probably wasn't, but I just felt that I had so much space and that nobody was marking me. And so, you know, looking back on it, it was a great experience to go there because it made me a better player.
Okay, I suppose one of the things about playing for that Manchester United side is that it has gone down in legend as the team which Matt Busby built, which finally delivered the European Cup to him. How do you feel about being part of that whole history and about the big statue that they have at Manchester United for you?
Well, I think that really was, you know, the start of it. I had met Matt Busby as he was then, 2 or 3 years before when he was a Scotland manager and picked me to play for Scotland. So I knew him, and then... You know, when I was back in Manchester, that season when I was in Italy, when I played for the Italian League against England in Manchester at Old Trafford, I bumped into somebody. He knew I wasn't happy. And he said, don't worry. He said, we'll be coming for you. It was a few months later he came. So it was nice to think that you were there at the beginning of the rebuilding of the United team, who had, you know, as we know, had lost in the Munichators at half their team. So it was nice to be in the start. And we nearly got relegated that season, as it turned out, but we went on to win the cup. And then for the next 5 years or whatever, we really came nice, and it was nice to be part of it. And when you think that 10 years after the Munich air disaster, there was Samat Busby lifting the European Cup at Wembley, it really was, it was lovely.
Was that part of the whole strength of the team, that you were all in it pretty much from the start, and that you'd kind of come through? Obviously there were players like Bobby Charlton who'd been there from before, but there were a lot of you who arrived at the same time to bring new blood and new ideas to the team, and you developed together as a side.
Well, as I say, it was rebuilding the side. Bobby, as you say, was there, and then of course the following season, in, you know, the 63-64 season, the great George Best came on the scene, Nobby Styles came through, Pat Crennan, who had been bought from Celtic. As you say, it was a rebuilding, and we were all just like nicely slotting in together. And although, as I say, we had a bad season prior to winning the cup, we then went on to, I think, land second that year. Then we won the title the following year, and of course we're back into Europe, which was what Sir Matt wanted anyway.
Dennis, you were born in Aberdeen, but ended up turning professional in England. How did that happen?
Well, the manager of a team called Huddersfield at the time was a guy called Andy Beattie, and his brother was doing some scouting in Aberdeen for Huddersfield, and he spotted me obviously playing for the school or whatever, and asked me to go down to Huddersfield, which was, after Aberdeen, not a particularly nice place to go.
Why so?
Well, it was a mill town, wasn't it? Because Aberdeen's on the coast, a lovely seaside, and at the time, it was a long way to go. If I remember, it was like something like 13 hours on the train. It was like going to Australia. I'd never been away from home. But fortunately, not long after I joined them, a guy called Bill Shankly came as assistant manager. Then, of course, he became manager. So I had 4 or 5 years with a great man there, and he looked after me. He knew I was a young boy coming down from Scotland. I had to be looked out, fed me, and taught me the game of football, really.
It seems that you've got an independent streak, and you're going so far away from home at 16, going to Italy that young. There's a couple of incidents as well in the book. There's one particular one where Joe Baker goes on hunger strike in Torino.
Did.
I mean,
you did.
It seems as if that the idea of players standing up for their rights is something you believe in.
Oh, right. Well, of course, we were not used to going in the mountains every week away, training for 3 days at a time. Back in England, it was like a couple of hours in the morning and that was it. And, of course, we didn't speak English. We didn't speak Italian. There were no papers or anything. So Joe did go on a hunger. I didn't go quite that far on a hunger strike. There was no weight on me anyway.
What would happen for those 3 days? Was it like...
We just went in training. It was training and, early to bed, training. Looking back on it now, it's probably the best thing to do, but we were bored to death. So Joe did that. And, of course, the rest of the lads, the Italian guys, they didn't like going either. So when Joe went on strike, we never went back into mountains again. The guys were, oh, glad you came, man.
It changed the way that they did business.
Hi, I'm Dalvet Quince. One way to help manage type 2 diabetes is to regularly exercise. My exercise program can help get you into a routine that works for you. Keep in mind, managing blood sugar also takes the right
diet. Hi, I'm celebrity chef Franklin Becker. Ever since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I've adapted my cooking style without sacrificing flavor. If you want to learn more tips about diet
and exercise,
visit mytype2transformation.com.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
CarMax knows that finding the right car is all about exploring your options, like the option to shop your way on your schedule. At CarMax, you can browse, compare, and pre-qualify online, then finish up at the store. Or simply start on the lot. The choice is yours. Because at CarMax, you're in the driver's seat. Start the search for your next car today at CarMax. The way car buying should be.
Meet Flip. She's one half of a flip-flop.
That's me.
Who got left behind at Celebration Key, Carnival's exclusive paradise in Grand Bahama.
I chose to stay here. It really is paradise.
So now, Flip spends her time lounging on the beach, swimming in the lagoon.
And eating. The only thing more impressive than my appetite are all the dining options.
Yeah, have you tried food service to your cabana?
Ooh, yum.
Flip, where'd she go? Book your cruise vacation to Carnival Celebration Key, a paradise you'll want to lose yourself in. Ships registry, the Bahamas and Panama.
Just to go back to Manchester United, you did play with some incredibly gifted players. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who was the best?
If you know about football, you've got to have a blend of different players. You've got to have guys who are good, you know, world-class players. You've got to have guys who are good passers, guys who are good tackle. You've got to have a blend of all that. So it would be wrong of me to actually say who was the best player, because they all are important, right from the goalkeeper to, in our day, what we called an outside left.
Have you thought about a career in politics at all?
Nice one. Nice one.
Do you, I mean, talking about the European Cup final, just and drawing some of the conclusions from what you're talking about, watching the game on TV, about how it was great to watch them, but really that you felt a bit distant from it, and that was one of the things that you maybe lead you to think that you couldn't be a football manager, that you didn't want to be a manager because you were separate from it. It was a different experience.
I think you've got to be a special type of guy to be a football manager. You've got to have that sort of streak in you where you've got to tell a youngster that he's no longer required, or he's not good enough, or you've got to tell players that, you know, you're not the right man for the team. So you've got to get rid of a lot. And a lot of disappointments, you know, you have to, but you have to do it. And I just felt that I hadn't got that type of character to do that.
The actual experience of watching the cup final, is it something that you still feel sad about, that you weren't there that day?
Of course. I would have really been devastated had I, say, the game was on a Wednesday. If I had been injured on a Saturday, I'd have been absolutely devastated. But, of course, I had been injured for, you know, after we'd qualified in the semi-final, there was about a month to go before the actual final. So I got, by that time, I had got used to the fact that I won't be playing. But, of course, when the lads went on and won it, you just felt that we still had a really good team and we'll go on and win it again. And, in fact, in the semi-final that following season, we played Milan, where I scored a goal which was like something like a foot to 2 foot over the line, which would have been the equalising goal. We would have gone on and beat them, but the referee, he let play on. The guys went into the back net, scooped it out. And Milan went on to beat Ajax, who were not a team then. They became a team many years later.
Yeah.
They went and beat them 4-1. So we could have actually gone on and won it again. And that was what I was thinking at the time anyway. We'll do it again.
Off the Ball on Dublin's News Talk 106. Brought to you by Gillette M3 Power. Gillette, the best a man can get.
You're listening to an interview that we did here on Off the Ball with Dennis Law about his autobiography, which is called The King. The reason I suppose I'm particularly interested in this is because it happened to Roy Keane as well, where he was
exactly
booked in the semi-final. Have you ever had a chance to talk to Roy about missing out on the...
No, but I can understand his feelings, yes. And like Roy as well, I'm sure he feels, and will still feel because he's obviously still playing, that they could go on and win it again.
Yeah.
And depending who you draw, if you get... It was just unfortunate last season that United met Real Madrid in the early stages. That would have been a lovely final at Old Trafford. So, I mean, Roy's still got the opportunity to go and win it.
What do you make of the way Manchester United are playing this season and the style of play that they seem to have developed under Alex Ferguson over the last couple of years? I mean, the way it's changed from the standard 4-4-2 with the two wingers.
Yeah, well, Alex is an excellent manager, one of the best it's ever been. And no matter who leaves the club, like Beckham left the club, Manchester United is such a huge club anyway, that they'll continue to go on and move up. And the way that they're playing at the moment, people ask you, who's got to win the league this season? Because you've got to be probably a wee bit biased, aren't you, and say, well, Manchester United. But if you looked at it from outside, there are only three teams, I think, to possibly win the title, is United, Arsenal, and now Chelsea have come into the running. And if you boil it down again, it's between Arsenal and United. And if you boiled it right down to the end, United to win it.
Okay. Do you still enjoy going to these games and the buzz that you get from the crowd?
I don't particularly go to games, no.
Really?
I'm not a great football watcher, no. And, you know, when I do watch, it's mainly on a television. It's never off the television anyway. But as the years are going on, you become a bit selective of who you are. A few years ago, when a game was live on the telly, no matter who was on, you'd watch it.
Yeah.
But now there's so many games on that you do become a bit choosy, you know, so that's where I watch most of my television.
Who do you choose to watch these days?
Well, if you get a game like, say, United versus Liverpool, or, you know, Liverpool versus Arsenal, or, you know, that type of game, you know, I'm not saying that the rest of the clubs are no good, but you do become, like, well, say, the derby with City and United, you know, that type of game. I'll not mention the teams.
Okay. You've got a remarkable relationship with both of the clubs in Manchester, which I think probably makes you a bit unique.
Well, I had a year, of course, at City when I left Huddersfield, before I went to Italy. So when, you know, things happened, things weren't going too good, when Manchester City offered a contract, it was perfect for me, because then I didn't have to move home with the children my wife was expecting, and I knew the people there anyway. So it was lovely. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
How did the City fans take to you?
They were great.
Yeah.
They were lovely. So I had never moved away. And I think that's, you know, when you look at the City of Manchester, they are football crazy. And they do remember people, and just a lovely... No, I had no problem. And I had no problem from the United fans either. So I'm probably a bit lucky.
Yeah, okay. You were also the European Footballer of the Year. I mean, for any footballer, that must be one of the highlights of their career.
It certainly is, yes. When you think of the players who were, you know, going around in that particular period, you know, Di Stefano, the great Real Madrid centre-forward, there were so many, Del Sol, Suarez, you know, there really was a real, you know, top sort of players in Europe. So to win it, yes. And, of course, Bobby went to win it a couple of years later, or... Yeah, and then George won it in 68. One of the things. So, like, to have three European players in the same team, I don't think it's ever been done before.
Did you appreciate when you did win it just how important and how big it was?
No. I think you tend to realise that much later on in life. You know, at the time, you just take it as, you know, a lovely award, but, you know, I've still got to go on and do more things.
You don't realise...
the importance of it. And it really, it's after you've finished that you realise that, oh, that was nice.
That's interesting, because it's one of those things that has come through from a lot of different characters, that they don't ever kind of sit and think about what's already happened, that it's the next competition that they're involved in.
Well, I think because you're a professional, that's what you've got to do anyway. I mean, the old cliche, isn't it? Like, you take one game at a time. But it really is. It is that. You get rid of that game, then you concentrate on the next game, and you know, if you're, like, then playing for your country, you concentrate in that game, and you don't really think about it.
Meet Flip. She's one half of a flip-flop.
That's me!
Who got left behind at Celebration Key, Carnival's exclusive paradise in Grand Bahama.
I chose to stay here. It really is paradise.
So now, Flip spends her time lounging on the beach, swimming in the lagoon,
and eating! The only thing more impressive than my appetite are all the dining options.
Yeah, have you tried food service to your cabana?
Ooh, yum!
Flip! Where'd she go? Book your cruise vacation to Carnival Celebration Key, a paradise you'll want to lose yourself in. Ships Registry, the Bahamas and Panama.